irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, August 18th. Today is a rainy day.
It's a rainy day. I was just talking to a friend last night who's been living near New York. I worked with him in New York, but he actually lived right over the bridge in Jersey. And we were talking about the apocalypse and how, like, you know, like how that would look and, you know, people showering with like sewage water. And I was like, well, you guys get rain. I was like, you guys would be fine. It rains three times a week. Everyone just go outside for 20 minutes. But we'd be screwed because it never rains here.
It
was humid yesterday, so it makes sense that it would rain.
Oh, it was. I didn't really notice it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning. I saw it was cloudy. I thought, at least it won't be as hot today.
Yeah.
And I go outside and it's wet. I'm like, wow, you know, great.
It hasn't rained downtown yet. It's just...
And it's not really rain. It's a drizzle, you know?
It's a drizzle. I mean, the ground is wet and the air is cleaned out and cool. You can tell.
Yeah.
That's something that people don't realize happens in places where it doesn't rain is like, you know, like where I'm from, no one's car ever gets that dirty, like ever, because it just rains. You know, you get rain spots and that's the dirt that it looks like. But here, people's cars get so dusty. And if you drive around neighborhoods and someone happens to have like a car in the driveway that they haven't used, you know, some people have that. They just have a car that is abandoned in the driveway. Right. It's always so dusty and so dirty. And you're like, how does it get like that? And you're like, oh, yeah, it never rains.
Exactly.
Ever.
And that's not good. You know, I mean, it's because there's nothing to clean the air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think people get sicker when there's no rain, you know.
Mm.
I think I've read about it somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that was like one of my favorite. Those were the only decent days in New York was after a really hard rain. It would just wash everything away. Like it didn't smell for at least the first half of the day.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It would just wash all the stank.
The urine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Urine's the least of the issues.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exciting. You know, we're getting a little relief here.
Yeah. I'm like, what's even the temperature today?
The traffic was pretty bad, though, compared to other days. It wasn't that bad, but still.
Yeah.
The whole area around here. Oh, 68?
It's lovely.
Oh, yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So I was driving, and people were honking and cutting in front of me and everything. Nobody's like, there's so much road rage in this fucking town.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. People just don't have patience for anything. They get angry at everybody.
And
I don't know. This woman, as I'm trying to merge into a lane, I'm half into it, right?
Yeah.
She goes around me. I mean, it wasn't even her that I had to get in front of. It was another car.
Mm.
And that car's like, beep, you know? Like, okay, so I let him go. The next car... She goes right around me, almost hitting me, so she can be ahead of me. But the traffic is not going anywhere.
Right.
It just stands still.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Also,
why cause a fucking accident or even get irritated with something like this?
I've learned to really change my tune with traffic here. I still do yell sometimes in my car at people, pretty much to myself. I'm basically yelling to myself just to get it out of my system.
Right.
But the thing is, like, look, there's when there's traffic, which is all the time,
mm-hmm.
it's so hard to just like sometimes make a left turn,
yeah.
you know, like, and we all have been there. We're all there every day, all the time. So why not be generous on the road and just hope that I mean, look, the traffic karma has always come back to me. Every time I'm in a good headspace and I let people go, I don't like rush around them, you know, or like cut them off or things like that, or, you know, get mad at people who cut me off. Like, it always comes back to me. Like, you know, when, because what I also, Oh my God, I can't talk today. What was also shocking, moving here, because I come from a town that has pretty simple roads. I mean, Jersey has complicated roads, but compared to LA, very simple, because we have so many highways that intersect and merge. And then there's so, like, you'll be on the 110 and suddenly it splits off into like four different highways. Mm-hmm. And then you have ramps on both sides of you. So sometimes your GPS isn't updating you fast enough. And if you don't know where you're going, you miss your ramp because you're six lanes away from it. Yeah. And there's too much traffic to just cut over. Right. So there are times that I've had to like hurry up and sneak over into traffic. And sometimes I've made it and sometimes I haven't. Yeah. So, you know, when someone's trying to like, it seems like they're being inconvenient by trying to cut over lanes, but just let them go. Yeah. Just let them go.
People are too bitter about everything, you know? They take out their anger on other drivers, and
we're all trying our best. Shit,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, last week, I think it was Thursday, I was driving home at about 8 o'clock after work, 8 p.m., and the GPS tells me it's going to take a while. I said, okay, well, whatever. So I'm getting in there on the freeway, and on the other side, well, the traffic was slow. You know, it was stop and go for me.
But take a while is a nice way to say a 22-minute slowdown.
Exactly. But so I knew something's going on. I didn't see it on the GPS. Something was going on, but it was on the other side. So everybody, all the spectators were slowing down on my side. About 10 fire trucks, 10 police cars. Traffic stopped completely. They stopped the traffic. And I'm going, my God, you know, can you imagine being stuck in that? You're not going anywhere, you know?
Nope.
And it takes a while. I mean, if the accident just happened, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, you may as well, like, get off the next ramp and just grab something to eat somewhere. But
what if you can't? What if you're stuck right in the... ahead of everything, you know, ahead of everybody. You can't just get out.
Yeah, you have to have some songs that you listen to when you're really stressed out or something.
Yeah.
I just, like, have to have a full jam out in my car.
Yeah.
So that I
can't imagine, you know, being stuck there for an hour or something, you know, even half. But so I knew it was something serious, but I didn't know what it was. And the following day, I was reading in the news that this guy in an SUV with his family drove the wrong way on the freeway, and a semi truck hit them. So
they all died.
Well, the wife. Well, they said one woman died and the kids were injured. I don't know, but the driver, of course, walked away.
Always.
He was trying to run away too, you know. It's like, where are you going, you know?
He was trying to run away?
Trying to run away.
So he must have done that on purpose or something.
No, he was probably drunk and shit, you know. I mean, I can see where someone drunk would go into the wrong way, you know. Sometimes it's easy, you know.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell. Sometimes even when you're straight, you're like, you know, which way do I go here? You know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So how could you possibly do it when you're drunk? You know?
The worst traffic I've ever been in LA was, and I know dinner time is the worst. Dinner time is the absolute worst. Like every time I'm coming from Bel Air to downtown, it's a normally like a 30-minute drive. It takes me sometimes an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
But one time, probably it was right before the pandemic, I was going towards the airport. To my friend's hotel at the airport, and it took me from my apartment downtown, it took me three and a half hours.
Wow.
Yeah. I almost peed my pants.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was very close. It was a very close call. I saw my friend. He met me right inside the lobby, and I was like, where's the bathroom? I didn't even say hello to him. I haven't seen him in years. I was just like, I did the bathroom now. Emergent.
Wow. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. So that's going to be interesting, too. Otherwise, you're doing great, I can see, right? We've all been doing great lately.
Oh, I'm getting over a hump, which is good.
Really?
It's been a stressful work week, but
yeah.
I'm really thankful for the feature on the cell phone, the Do Not Disturb, where it doesn't buzz. You can have your phone on, but it's basically like it's off. You can check it when you want.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't buzz. It doesn't ding.
So you like that?
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
Well, mine is quiet. I mean, mine is on silent, so I hear the vibrations.
I don't want that.
You don't want vibrations.
I don't want that.
You just don't want to be bothered.
I don't want
to
be bothered.
Okay, well, that's a different thing altogether.
I don't want to be bothered at all. Yeah. I want silence. I want peace.
I know. I've been there, man. I've been there. But in L.A., when it rains, people drive like crazy, you know?
I mean, when it's cloudy, it's like, is everyone looking at the clouds? Everyone's like distracted by the sky looking different. They're like, what is this?
Because, look, I can understand driving slowly because, all the grease on the road and stuff comes up when it rains. But it wasn't that rainy. I mean, the road seemed like dry to me, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't that rainy. But still, the traffic slows down. It just bunches up at bottlenecks and you're not going anywhere.
It's the worst when there's like nothing even happening.
Yeah.
You're like, why were we sitting there? It was nothing.
I know. But, you know, there's some people imagine they're driving the canyon every morning. Mm. And that's like stop and go. You can't go anywhere except straight.
Yeah.
And it's bumper to bumper.
Nope.
And people get really irritated with that. I mean, I drove it sometime. For a while when I worked in Beverly Hills, and it was horrendous. It really is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you drive here on Ventura Boulevard, you can see all the canyons. The traffic is all the way to the light, and it's not going anywhere.
Sure.
So it's just like a whole mess, man. And somehow I wiggled in, and that's why they were honking at me, but...
Whatever.
But I made it here on time, so who cares, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yesterday we had a guest here. It was fun to finally have another guest in the studio, right?
I know.
I mean, there are people that want to come, but I'm kind of being careful right now, you know? I'm telling people, let's keep it to the phone.
Yeah, with the variant.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Now, they're saying they're going to give us like a third shot or... they're saying like
September
a booster.
20th.
Right. And that's for people that got the second dose 8 months ago. So I don't know. You did, right? You got it before that.
I don't know if it was 8 months ago.
You got it pretty early.
I definitely waited a few months for sure.
Mm.
I just passed a funny photo while I'm looking. April 27th.
Okay, so that's less than 8 months. You're good.
Yeah, so basically that's the whole month of April.
Right.
So
but it'll just continue. I probably every time you hit 8 months, you'll have to get a booster shot.
Yeah, totally. I hope not. Jeez.
I know, but you know what? We already have this like poison in our body. Might as well.
Yeah, might as well keep pumping it in.
Exactly, you know.
So funny. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I didn't get any side effects. You know, I got my second one this past Friday.
Oh,
no side effects. It
that's
was a
good.
little sore where the shot came in.
But, oh, yeah.
But, and then the next day I was very tired, though. You know, I was
that was my side
effect,
falling
asleep,
too.
You know? I felt I'd never been this tired in my life, you know?
It felt like, to me, the second day, it felt like when you eat too many edibles and the next day you're, like, in a cloud. That's what it felt like.
Really?
Like, I was just, like, a little confused all day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's it. And I had a bit of a headache.
Yeah.
But I was fine otherwise. My roommate was on his ass for, like, 3 days.
Really?
Yeah, he was really, really sick.
Yeah, I heard some people really had at least one bad night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I usually don't have side effects. I'm good with that, you know, so... but the battle continues between the vaxxers and the non-vaxxers and the maskers and non-maskers. And I don't know how this is going to end up, but I just don't understand the end game for the ones that don't want to get a vaccine. You know, like, how do you think it's going to end?
I know.
You know, what's your version of it? You know?
I think like the governor of Texas, who is against public health, just got COVID.
Right. That's what they said. But then... I'm looking today. It doesn't say anything about it, so I don't know. But I don't know what to believe anymore, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be all over the news today, but it's not. I didn't see it.
It's been mostly stuff about Afghanistan.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday I think I read about him. But, and then there's a bishop that was anti-vaccine, and now he's got COVID. He's got it pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I waited on the vaccine just to see if there's some side effects, you know, it's like to see what's going on, you know. But then I realized I'm playing Russian roulette, going outside of my house, and you don't know where you're going to get it from,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's pros and cons either way. I just feel like the pros and cons of getting it are... of getting the vaccine are better than without. So
right. You mean the pros are better than the cons?
Yes, that's yeah. exactly what I meant.
Okay. We just want to clarify.
Yeah, thank you.
But no, I mean, I just don't know how it's going to end if we don't get vaccines. You know, it's going to stay around forever. It'll probably mm-hmm. stay around anyway, but, you know, we can learn to live with it, you know.
Can you imagine if, like, when polio was a thing, if people were like, no, I'm not getting vaccinated.
Right.
Or, like, all the, like anything else that we've been getting vaccines for. You know, like, growing up in, I don't know how it was in Israel, but in American
yeah,
public school, you have to have certain vaccines.
Yeah, I mean, several when mm-hmm. you're a kid, you know. Not yeah. only that, there's certain countries you have to, when you fly there, you have to have a vaccine before
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
You know. So
and people usually do that, no problem.
Right. They've not said anything, you know, but now there's a conspiracy theory or not just one, you yeah. know, and.
But, you know, I honestly think like, look, I get it. My body, my choice. Honestly, like if you really don't want the vaccine, don't get the vaccine.
Right.
But I think like, what do they call that? Natural selection, survival of the fittest.
Herd immunity?
No, I'm thinking like people who are not vaccinated.
Right.
Who get COVID and ended up, you know.
Right.
Things happen.
Yeah.
It's just nature taking its course at that point.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, we're going to take a phone call right now.
Great.
I guess it's calling in. Let me bring up the notes here. And good morning. You're on the air. Is this Kyle?
This is Kyle. Good morning.
Good
hey,
morning,
Kyle.
Kyle. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to join you both on this, you know, incredibly gloomy, but beautiful LA day.
Oh, I love it. Don't
well,
you?
So you're in LA too. You know about the weather. You already know.
I already know. I'm right on the other side of the hill, I believe, from both of you.
Oh, I see. Great. Great. Kyle, pronounce your last name for us. They wrote Yelmseth. Would that be close enough?
You actually said it completely correctly.
Oh, awesome.
Wow, Sam's good with that.
Yeah, well, they did they did spell it out the easy way to pronounce.
Oh, yeah,
but,
that's true. I see
but
that.
But sometimes it's still hard. Yeah, you know.
You're still pretty good at it,
yeah,
though.
I wouldn't have taken the credit for pronouncing the name the way it's written because it's unusual.
It's because you're not from America. I feel like that's a specifically American thing to be bad at saying names.
I would agree with that. That's a great comment. Yeah. It's kind of true.
What's your background? What is this name? Where is it used?
Where does it originate? So my last name originates. It's Norwegian.
Oh.
I am not Norwegian, but my father's, you know, it's like my adopted last name.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gotcha. So, but you were born here in the United States?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. And
I was born in California, grew up in Washington State.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. But that's quite a different environment there in Washington State.
I hear it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It is. I always explain it to people in two ways. One, it's incredibly boring for somebody to grow up there, like especially if you were born in California. It's a vast change and can be boring. But whenever I go back and you step off an airplane, it's like your lungs explode with actual real like clean air. And you just feel completely different. Yeah. Being in that space because of the quality of air.
Right.
Love that.
How long did you live there?
We moved to Washington when I was 4, so from 4 until I went to college at 18.
Oh, I see. Okay, pretty cool. Where did you go to college?
Purdue in Indiana.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's a pretty good school. Very good school, in fact.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Very cool. And what did you take there? What degree did you get?
So I entered into at Purdue as a psychology major, and then after a year of that, I decided that was not what I thought it would be, and I changed to what everybody thought I'd be good at, which is public relations.
Oh, okay. And did you end up working in public relations then?
Kind of, not really. When I graduated, I moved almost immediately to Los Angeles, where I have family. So I moved in with my grandparents, and I applied. This was before the Great Recession, so there were a lot of jobs available. Right. I was applying to like 5 jobs a day. I had, I think, 40 job interviews in, wow, in 3 months. Like every day was just something. And so I really got to pick, you know, what kind of job I wanted to take or the offer I wanted to take. And I ended up, I did apply to a lot of PR firms, but I ended up going in-house in the marketing department for a large architecture firm, international architecture firm, because I just thought it was a really interesting, you know, potential job, you know, for me to get into. Interesting space.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I have a marketing degree. I've always found it fascinating, you know, and you can use it in almost every industry, you know, not almost, but in all industries, you need strong marketing to be able to grow your company. So yeah. Now you're the founder and CEO of talent management agency, GNB. How did you end up with that? Is that your company? Well, you founded it by yourself, or do you have partners?
Yes, I founded by myself. About 2015.
Right.
But I was already working as a talent manager for a year before that, just for my wife, my now wife.
Uh-huh.
I was helping her with her business, and once she started telling people how much money I was making for her, they wanted help too. And so I just ended up founding it by myself, starting the whole company. I brought in other, you know, people to help me in about end of 2017.
Right.
And so that's when we really started to change from being, you know, like a one-man show to really what we are today, which is one of the nation's largest independent talent management firms.
Wow, congratulations on that.
What do you like, what fulfills you about being a talent manager and what pulls you to it?
That's a great question. It's something, you know, I've really learned a lot about in the time, because I don't come from the world of talent management, and you know, we're here in Hollywood, and so the idea, I think the outside idea of what a talent manager is largely driven off what we see on TV. You know, you may think of like Entourage and whatnot when you think of these big high-powered agents from the firms that, you know, some of us know, like CAA, you know, UTA and whatnot.
Sure.
I didn't have any of that background, so I just invented it as I went. And I didn't know anybody in this world either. So it was just kind of like, based on my personality, based on my background, my business acumen, how did I think things should go? And that's what we built the whole company around, is really just Kyle's way, I guess.
It sounds,
you know,
great.
To answer your question, what fulfills me is I love the relationship with every person, you know, every different part of the funnel. I like being in the middle of the talent and really standing up for them and helping them not only get what they deserve in terms of money or the right contracts and things, but helping them see their creative ideas come to life. And I think that's really particularly cool about, you know, influencer work, as influencers largely get to, you know, do projects with a lot of their own creativity versus being in something very prescriptive. But I also love the relationship on the other side with the agencies and brands that hire us, and really facilitating this great conversation, you know, creating a respectful environment that becomes mutually beneficial, I think is just what I'm particularly strong suited at.
Sure.
So yeah, it's seeing great ideas come to life, and then, you know, finding mutually beneficial ways to create mutually beneficial relationships.
I love that. What kind of talent do you manage besides influencers?
It's almost 100%, you know, like what is now the classical digital media influencer. We do have a subsidiary that deals with sports and entertainment, so some celebrities and athletes, but the way that celebrities and athletes, the way that their their digital followings work or react is very different from an influencer. Because celebrities and athletes have fans, and fans respond differently than followers, or, you know, like influencers, they've built communities of people around them and their story over time. That's very different than somebody who was like on a TV show or did something in sports and like gained a following that way.
Right. So, and they pretty much did it all themselves in order to get to be an influencer, to get all these followers, you know, so.
It's not being discovered by, you know, a talent scout or, you know, showing up, somebody showing up at a show and hearing somebody play the, you know, the guitar or sing or whatever. It's not being discovered in that way. It's being discovered by the public.
Right.
Which, you know, creates a very different dynamic.
Right. So how does it work? Do they look for you or do you look for them? How does it work exactly? When you represent
them? It's a little bit of both. Up until the end of 2019, at the end of that year, our referral rate as a company was about 96-97%. So most of the talent that came, you know, from management under me and my team came because they were referred by somebody else that we manage. We really started to expand in early 2020, and then we continued to expand during the last year. And so that was a mix of referrals and then also us having our eye out there, who's really making waves, who's, you know, showing up on the radar, that's, you know, a cool new influencer that, you know, we could potentially work with. So we started doing a lot more recruiting, which it's, you know, a lot more recruiting is kind of a funny thing to say. Our referral level is still at like 76%. So most of our talent still have come because somebody else said, hey, you got to work with G&B.
Wow, very cool. So how many clients would you say you have? How many people are you representing currently?
We're representing over 100 at this time.
Oh, wow. So that's like a large scale thing.
They're quite a deep talent base. We work with really major market talent, meaning that most of our talent are in, you know, major metros like Los Angeles, New York. We have a great amount of talent now that have come up in one of the hottest areas, which is Texas, you know, Austin and Dallas and Houston. We represent Miami and, you know, a few other smaller locales, but mostly major market talent.
Wow. Very cool, man. So it's pretty much a large scale now. It obviously you couldn't do it all yourself with so much work, you know. So that's pretty cool. Right. So you've established quite a company. The company is G&B Digital Management, and you guys are based here in LA, obviously. And a few more things. They sent us like the pitch and stuff was. They had the angle on social shaming and bullying and stuff on online. Do you want to discuss that for a few minutes with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think that's a great topic, especially because of where we live and where we're doing business. It's
right.
Really interesting.
So so what's social shaming? Explain that to us. Or social scrolling.
Social shaming, yeah, there's a lot of ways that can take shape. I think that what most people are familiar with are, you know, the idea of like cyberbullying. Cyberbullying really started as, you know, I would say primarily started in the lanes of chat rooms and forums, you know, where you might post something in a forum or a chat room and then have people come after you or say bad things about you. But, you know, in the earlier days of the internet, that was a lot more, it was faceless because we all had kind of like semi-obscure profiles.
Right.
That's very different than where we're at today with these large social media accounts where we share our whole lives and all, and a lot of, especially with influencers, they share a lot of aspects of their lives, their core beliefs, what they look like in various types of clothing, you know, kind of anything and everything, how they deal with their families and their kids and, like I said, all aspects of their lives. And so what changed is really, you know, you've got this new environment where you can just be picked apart for anything.
Yeah.
Could be the size and shape of your body, could be your skin tone, could be your, again, your core beliefs, whatever those might be. And so social shaming is this prevalent issue that occurs. It's like, of course, all over the internet and every facet of the internet it's happening, but it's really taken a new light with the digital platforms like Instagram and TikTok and whatnot. Right. Because, you know, you can create an account, anybody can create an account and, you know, have no photo, no real information, and then just go around saying whatever hurtful, terrible things they may want to say. And,
right.
You know, it's a role that itself is a shame. Social shaming is a shame.
Right.
But it's something that, like, I see that the platforms like Instagram and TikTok, it's hard to deal with. It's hard to find a way to stop people from, you know, this new age of cyberbullying.
Right. You obviously expose a lot of yourself and you make yourself vulnerable. And, I mean, I recall at least a couple of stories where people committed suicide because they couldn't handle all this, all these attacks.
And, yeah.
You know, people terrorize you, you know. It's unbelievable some of the things that people do, you know.
And they have so much keyboard courage because they don't. Yeah. You don't have to face them, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. People. I love that. Yeah, keyboard courage. It's really good. but you're exactly right, you know. And like I said, it's not like this is new in a lot of ways. One of my favorite movies from back in the day, it was a Kevin Smith movie that I'm totally blanking on the name of, but they literally talk about this, like, internet bullying in this, you know, comedy movie. And it will always take a new shape. There are people out there that have this kind of vitriol, you know, they just need to get these bad things off their chest, and they feel like, especially with influencers, like that's a prime target. And it can really spiral out of control. And I think, you know, what I've seen are really extreme examples of that in my line of work, because when you represent influencers who are sort of like the new celebrity, there's a natural curiosity for who they really are. What is their life really like beyond what this person with 500,000 followers or 1 million followers shows you?
Right.
And there are forums that exist on sites like Reddit where people kind of gather together to try to pick apart the person's life, see what they can find out. I've seen, you know, of course, lots of hateful comments happening on these types of forums, but then even you know, you have your super sleuths out there that have nothing better to do. They take their time and their energy and whatever to find somebody's, you know, Zillow listing. So yeah. It's like, wow, okay, right. Based on kind of what I see on their Instagram account, I can pinpoint exactly where this person probably lives.
Right.
Oh, and then, okay, we found their Zillow listing or apartment listing. So you have an address. And that's where it gets a little scary.
And I think, like,
but we definitely.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, no, I was just going to say, we've definitely seen, you know, multiple cases of that, and it's worrisome.
Yeah.
See, I think that, like, a lot of the bullying and a lot of those forums that are picking people apart and trying to find all the flaws, all of that comes from people's, psyche. Like, all of that is people feeling insecure, people right. trying to, it's a survival mechanism, psychological survival. You know, people are posting and making right. their lives look amazing. Like, I have a friend who sometimes posts pictures of her dancing at the club, and really she's like laying in bed upset about something. And so everyone on the outside yeah. thinks she's living this amazing, perfect, right. dreamy life. And so people mm-hmm. feel threatened by that. They feel right. like, well, my life's not like that. I should be living like that. And everyone has this, like, kind of new standard of living now. Like, right. there's this company that rents out airplanes so people can go and do photo shoots on the there airplane so yeah. it looks like they're on a private jet when really, like, they're not on a private jet at all. They probably live in like a 400 square foot studio in New York City or something.
Yeah, Kyle should know, you yeah, know, he yeah. deals with these people.
So, you know, all of it is just true. People trying to preserve themselves, and it's sad, you yeah. know, because some of the stuff you see is real, some of it's not real, and
right.
and, you know, people just really insecure about it.
Yeah. You know, and I think people also yeah. don't think of the consequences when they get like hundreds and thousands of followers, you know, and it exposes you. Like I said, it makes you vulnerable to all kinds of attacks. And,
right.
And, you know, people tear you down, you know.
Right. It's not like when you're a celebrity and the tabloids happen and you're just dealing with the tabloids. Like when right. you're an influencer, right. you also have, I mean, I'm sure celebs probably get this nowadays on the internet too, but like, everyone's subject to everything publicly. Like I have a friend who's, I'm 33, I have a friend who's 21. So he was just in high school a few years ago. And when I was growing up, we were just concerned about the popular kids in school and being popular in our school. You know, we weren't right. even really concerned about being popular at the schools around us.
Right.
And now kids right. are not only concerned with popularity in school, but they're concerned with global popularity. Like, yeah. oh, I have this many right. followers, you have that many followers. And it's, I think it's really hard on people sometimes.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you brought up a great point that, you know, at the end of the day, like you could take the most normal looking person, you know, like let's just say your most basic average human who doesn't have anything extraordinary going on in their life. But let's say they've got, let's imagine, you know, they've got a couple hundred thousand followers because of the stories they tell. Just that follower count alone begs like for these trolls or whomever to show up, because it maybe it's not a materialistic thing that the person has that somebody else doesn't have. Maybe it's just the fact that like what you're doing in your basic life, and that becomes the point of attack.
Right.
You know, it's not just one thing. It really could be anything, and that's the downside of human nature.
Yeah.
You know, and we see the worst of it.
It's also just trolls bored at home.
Yeah.
They're just bored. You know, they have nothing else to do.
And people are, you know, they get envious and everything. And they just like, you know, I mean, this happens even offline, you know?
Yeah, they're powerless in their own life, you know? People do this in day-to-day life, too. They feel powerless at home. They take it out on their employees or they, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
So that's, it's human nature, I guess, in a really sad way.
Yeah. I'm sure you see this with your clients having to deal with these things, right, Kyle?
Yeah, so, you know, there's only so much as an agency we can do, in a sense. We've dealt with, like, numerous different types of issues that have occurred over the last few years. It's actually, I mean, you know, in my experience as our agency has grown, we've really just seen this become more of a problem over the last, like, let's say 2 years, especially exacerbated by the pandemic and us all being inside and being, you know, like as you said, bored. But we have one talent who is an internationally recognized person. You know, I won't name names just because of this particular story that I can share with you. But this talent happens to have been just the victim of really intense cyberbullying because of that person's talent's relationship with their husband, who's now their ex-husband, who was also somebody in the industry. And when they split up, the wife, who is, you know, represented by us, became the target of like massive attacks by the husband's fans, you know, and all the, where they're like finding out again where she lives and what she's doing. And, you know, it comes to that point where you think, okay, is this where I need a security detail, or I need to change where I live and my living situation, all that kind of stuff. And that's really difficult. So we brought in PR experts, crisis PR experts, you know, to help with various talents. We hired earlier this year, especially coming out of the pandemic. This isn't just an influencer thing, of course, but it's kind of a lot of people thing. There's just a lot of burnout because of spending so much time on social. And so we really saw this as an opportunity to work with, we hired a psychologist who knows about the world of influencer and social media to do sessions with our talent, you know, to talk about some of these things. How do you deal with cyberbullying? How do you deal with burnout, et cetera, you know, and coming up with strategies just to make sure everybody is keeping their peace.
Yeah.
And that's really important, you know, and we find that to be very important.
Right. Well, there's so much to talk about. I mean, this topic is so relevant and everything. If people want to find you, if people want to inquire about your services, how can people find you, Kyle?
Well, I'm really easy. I know we're on the air right now, and spelling my last name is next to impossible. But you can find me on Instagram fairly easily. And then our agency is, again, G&B Digital Management. We have a pretty good search rank, so I think that's easy to find, or gb-dm.com.
Sounds good. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Full of great, enlightening information.
Great,
yeah, definitely. And, you know, kudos to you for starting this and for making it so successful. And we wish you continued success.
Yeah, thank you both. Have a great afternoon.
Okay, you too.
And enjoy the rain.
Bye.
Bye, Kyle.
Take care.
Wow.
Yeah, such an interesting world we live in now. So dynamic.
I'm telling you, man, it's unbelievable the things that people do, you know?
There's like so much good to come out of technology, and there's so much bad.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
You can't really even weigh it.
Yeah. I know. And that's why, you know, sometimes I wonder to myself if I could expose myself in that way to the world, you know, where... People, because, you know, usually when you have so many influences, it's because you really reveal yourself, you know.
Sure.
You let people be part of your life and things like that. And I'm a private person. I don't like that, you know.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, being a so-called influencer and having that many, not that I could get them, but if I could, I don't think I would, you know. I mean, you make money, yeah, but... But at what cost, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you lose a lot of privacy for sure. I mean, he was talking about people looking up your home.
Right.
That's the last thing I want is anyone finding
right.
my home, you know?
I know,
man. I'm not that tech savvy to know how to cover it up either.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. People find out all kinds of things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the last few minutes, let's talk about Afghanistan for a moment, okay? Because...
It's really heartbreaking what's happening over
there. Yeah, yeah. I can't let the president off the hook, you know. I mean, with all the attacks on Trump and everything, I think we deserve to have some attacks on the current president who's dropped the ball on this one.
Mm.
You know, the criticism is not that we left Afghanistan, because we should have done it a long time ago, you know. The mission when we went there in 2001 was to find bin Laden and... You know, and get revenge for September 11th.
Yeah,
and get out, and we stay there for 20 years. You know, it's our longest war. We lost 2,000 soldiers there. And many, many people injured and everything. And and now you go and you pull out without any plan or anything. The bottom line is, we left a lot of Americans and Afghans behind that we could have taken out before. So what happens now is people are stuck there with the Taliban. And, I mean, this is like living in hell, you know. I mean, they bring back the dark ages the way
they're saying
live,
it's pushing,
you know,
the country back 200 years.
It really, maybe 2,000 years, you know. I mean, it's really like...
Barbaric.
Barbaric, you know.
Yeah.
It really is like ancient way of treating people. And...
It's like the olden times.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
And, you know, the amazing thing is they're saying they're hoping, or they're asking the Taliban to guarantee safety for women and girls.
They're not going to do that.
Hoping is not a strategy. And you know that they're going to limit. They're already erasing women, you know, like images and stuff, like stores, you know. Posters for clothes, whatever. I see that they're already taking it all down.
Right. And they're talking about a petition that people are making. Do you think a petition is really... Do you think the Taliban cares about a petition?
Exactly. Like,
they're living in the Stone Ages. I mean...
Exactly. You know, and they're like, yeah, we hope they'll keep human rights. And it's like, come on, man. You know, I mean, who is this? You know, who do we think we're dealing with here, you know? I mean, haven't we learned something, you know?
No.
I mean, these are the people that destroyed, like, history where they are, you know? I remember, like, there were, like, ancient statues, like, carved out of mountains and things like that, and they exploded all of it, you know?
Yeah.
They've left nothing.
And it's amazing how fast they took over.
Yeah.
It was less than a day.
Well, no, no, it was a few days to take over Kabul, but it look, I mean, it was a few hours once they were in town in the city,
yeah,
to go into the presidential palace and that, right? But it still, it happened very fast, you know. There's no question about it, and the administration is saying, "Oh yeah, it happened faster than we thought it would." It's like, come on, man. It's like we're the United States, you know. You don't fuck up like that. You know, how do we look to everybody else? You know, you're abandoning people there that you tried to protect for 20 years. What did we do it all for?
Yeah.
You know, and Americans are stuck there. Doesn't it make sense to get everybody out and then the military?
Mm.
You know, but we pulled out the troops and we left all these people behind. And
what for them?
Right, you know. I mean, did you see these people jumping on the plane?
Yeah, the people hanging onto the plane. Right. I saw the full plane of people.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's a video of two dots falling off the plane, you know, once it was up in the air, you know. Can you imagine?
I mean, just feeling so desperate to get out of where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said... there's pretty much no women outside.
Yeah.
No, they're not even taking a chance.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with them, man. I feel bad for them, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like...
I wonder if America's going to do anything to rectify the situation or help in some way.
Well, they said they sent 5,000 soldiers to help out. But, you know, I mean, the airport, we have 1,000 troops in the airport alone. And still, they're not able to get planes out of there now. Man. Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
The world is, yeah, the world is fucked up completely. You know, I don't know where we're going from here, Jen.
Nowhere.
You know?
Nowhere.
Makes me wonder, like I said yesterday, it makes me wonder why anybody would want to bring a baby to this world right now, you know.
I know.
Maybe people should wait a little bit to see if things improve, you know.
I think a lot of people are.
I mean, you know, to bring a baby into a world with COVID and all this, like, the country so split up into two parts and everything. And
there's fires and natural disasters and
everything.
The world's falling apart.
Yeah, you know.
It's literally falling apart.
I know. I mean, you know, it's not like in the past things were better, but I think for us, I mean, in history, you know, there's been many tough times. I mean, imagine living in times where people were fighting with swords and...
Yeah, no thanks.
You know, and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dark Ages, you know, plagues, things like that. We don't have that anymore, but the fact is that I think our lives in the past 20 years... have been a lot better than most of history, you know?
Yeah.
And then...
You can't... I mean, look, there's a lot that needs to improve, but you can't really argue that it's better now than it's been pretty much ever.
No, not now, but I think, you know, in the 20th century, the past century, relatively speaking, was pretty peaceful, you know?
Mm.
We have... And now we really have less wars than we ever had, you know? But we've got other problems.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people depressed and committing suicide from this pandemic. And forget about it, man. It's terrible. You know, I've been watching The Stand on Paramount Plus, and this is based on the Stephen King book that's been made into movies and TV series and everything. It's a very thick book, like 1,200 pages. And I love that book. It's one of my favorites.
Mm.
So they made it sort of like modern because this came out in the 70s, but they made it out so this is like happening now, you know. So you have internet, you have, they even show you people vaping and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, but the main story there is that there's a pandemic, you know, and people are like getting really sick, and the world was left with not many people, you know? So it's like you see the consequences. Like they're in New York, and they're starting to smell all the, you know, the death there and everything. So they decide to leave. And that's, you know, so people come from all over the country. They have this dream of this woman who is Whoopi Goldberg. And she's like in a cornfield, and they see that she keeps telling them, go to Boulder, Colorado.
Sure.
And that's where the good people, the quote-unquote good people end up.
I've been to Boulder. It's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the terrible people end up in Las Vegas.
That's not surprising.
Right. And then they make a stand against each other. And that's what the stand is about. And but it really gets into the details of what happens when most of the population is gone, you know.
Yeah. It's not a...
Pretty, yeah, I don't know why I'm watching this. But
yeah, right?
It's like we don't have enough, right?
I know. We have plenty.
Yeah.
They just rebuilt a replica of the Titanic, and someone made a joke and said, well, all the icebergs have pretty much melted, so it should be okay this time.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it, Jen.
All right.
Thank you for today. Thanks to Kyle for calling
in. Thanks, Kyle.
Very interesting stuff. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.